Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Raina Troy Hotline.
Alicia, Michael, what's going on?
We know you have takes. We have takes.
I'm actually surprised that your rant line, rave line, whatever, isn't completely full.
Why can't we just win a game?
Can I blame Michael Castillo for this?
Can I blame Bob Connolly for this?
Could I put on a zebra shirt and just go out there?
Scratch, claw, up against the wall.
Can't explain that what I'm feeling right now, guys.
I can't believe it.
Let's open up that rave line! Woohoo!
Oh, I can't believe USD has hired Lincoln Riley. Oh, yeah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rate of Trev Radio, episode 516, coming to you on Monday, October 30th. We are live here on YouTube talking about USC's 50-49 win over Cal, and so much more. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Rain of Troy, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Rain of Troy. Be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, wherever you get your episodes, we are there. Email address, rainoftroy@fansign.com, and our phone number, 818-643-7227, Second Whisper and Show. I'm your host, Mike Castillo, joined along with my co-host here in the Rain of Troy studio in Los Angeles, Steve Bartman.
Hello, everybody.
Steve Bartman. You dressed as Steve Bartman.
I am Steve Bartman for Halloween for this episode. Yes.
Steve Bartman.
Yeah, I'm working on a divorce is really what I'm doing.
I'm glad you acknowledge it. Steve Bartman. You showed up as Steve Bartman.
It's even I am slightly disturbed by how uncanny this this costume is.
It's the headphones. It's the headphones. If you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts and not on live on YouTube, Alicia looks just like Steve Bartman. Black sweatshirt, green turtleneck, Cubs cap and headphones, and a look on her face like, oh God, what did I just do? just like Steve Bartman. I, of course, continue to not celebrate Halloween, which is the worst holiday there is. So I'm just me.
Halloween is the best holiday. I love Halloween. I spent all morning at my folks' place getting all of our Halloween decorations. Well, doing the first half of our Halloween decorations. My brother and I really stepped up our game this year. We're really, really excited about the tableau that we have created in my parents' front yard. I am pumped. I'm pumped to be out there on Halloween, handing out candy and scaring the people who are coming up to the house and doing everything. So I'm not like a big costume person. This is unusual for me in terms of costumes. I don't think through costumes very much. At least lately, when I was a kid, I did more, but I break out the Bartman for your benefit, and then get into the Halloween spirit in other ways in the next couple days.
Well, there you go. There you go. Anyways, we're here to talk about USC and Cal. You guys were amped up to talk about SC and Cal and called into the rant line. So here is the rant line calls.
Rain of Troy Radio, what's up? This is Dave from Orange County.
Hey, Rain of Troy, this is L.A. Fred calling.
Greg from D.C. again.
Hey, guys, this is Michael on the 563. Justin from Virginia.
Hello, Rain of Troy. Calling from Grand Terrace, reporting from Berkeley.
Oh, boy, what did we watch on Saturday night?
We have to score 50 just to beat Cal. I guess this was our Halloween game. It got scary.
Oh, my God, this is comical.
All I got to say is I never thought that I would be sad that I'm not angry anymore.
And I'm not upset. I'm resigned.
The biggest disappointment for me with this team is that way too often the Trojans look like the damn inferior team on the field.
You would like to think that this would be the low for the season, that we got to win and everything, but this will be the low for the season. But we got Washington, we've got Oregon, and we got UCLA. We have to lose the next three games, and I don't know how you could possibly look yourself in the mirror and say that's not going to happen.
I think I can make a very strong argument that the Trojans could easily be 5-4, or heaven forbid, 4-5.
I don't know what else to think at this point. The defense is doing absolutely nothing. Jaden Knott's run for 100 million yards already.
Excited about the win, but man, this defense is beyond frustrating.
I know we need to fire Bridge, but hey, a win is a win. Let's go.
And both sides of the ball didn't play great, but hey, a W is a W, and frankly, feeling good. I mean, it feels good to have a win after two straight losses.
An ugly win is always better than any type of loss, and I don't know that I can ever be convinced otherwise. But having to stop a two-point conversion to get a one-point victory over a not a very good Cal team just leaves the door wide open for all of us fans to bitch and moan and complain, as it's just a continuation of the previous 4 to 5 weeks.
Roll with the punches for the rest of the season, go to some butt crack bowl, hopefully next year, and we'll hire somebody, maybe a Jim Leonard or somebody. Now let's see where we're going forward, but this ain't it.
We win next week, and everything's possible.
All right.
Have a great day.
Have a good week, and fight on, everybody.
Fight on.
Fight on. Love the show.
You guys are awesome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the calls, as always. I loved the butt crack bowl from Dave. That was great.
The butt crack bowl sponsored by Charmin.
Maybe a little too literal. A little too literal. I remember the tweet from the other day that was like, Dabo and Lincoln Riley are going to look good with sombreros at the Sun Bowl, and like, ooh.
Oh, good times.
No, no, yeah. No, but nobody wants the Sun Bowl. Then again, I don't think the Sun Bowl would ever pick SC again, right? It's been 11 years. Is it cooled down?
Oh, I don't know.
Would they be willing?
But remember, like, that was 2012. That was, like, people are talking about this season the way they talked about 2012. Obviously not this season.
It's
like,
basically a redo. Yeah.
This would be the worst possible year to break it and say, hey, let's give USC the Sun Bowl bid again this year. Like, you are just asking for the same vibes. The very same vibes.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens with SC and the Bulls. We got stuff to talk about. We've got some news, so let's get to the news, shall we?
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
All right, Alicia, let's get to the news, which is there is no time for USC in Oregon, which is coming up in about 10 days. 12 days. November 11th, on V-Day, USC and Oregon locking horns at Autzen Stadium in Eugene. The TV networks are doing that thing where it's the 6 day window. So who knows, what the time is going to be. They said it's going to be 12:30, 4:30, or 7:30, which we could have already guessed that, but SC and Oregon don't have a time, and neither does Utah and Washington. So it presumably goes down to whatever happens on Saturday. Whatever makes the best matchup is going to get the best time. And the question is, what is that best time as far as Fox is concerned? Do they value the 4:30? Do they value the 7:30? Do they value the 12:30? I don't know.
I think it's very clear that if USC upsets Washington and Oregon takes care of business, that USC Oregon will be at 4 o'clock. I think that would be my guess. I'm pretty confident in that. Aside from that, then I agree. I don't know necessarily where Fox is going to value a matchup between USC and Oregon where USC's lost to Washington.
Yeah.
Do you put that at 12:30?
Seen Fox put the big game at 12:30. We've seen them put the big game, the big Pac-12 game at 12:30. We've seen them put the big Pac-12 game at 4:30. Like, we've seen them value the different spots depending on the week. So, like, I think the bigger question is, you know, if SC wins, if SC finds a way to beat Washington, then I think the Oregon SC game will get more eyeballs than Washington, Utah. So then that's the one that you would think would get the higher pecking order of the broadcast team. And then it's up to Fox to decide if that's 12:30 or 4:30.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because there was the phrasing of it did make it seem like one of those games will be on at 7:30 and one of them will be on either 4 or 12. So the better matchup is just 4 or 12. Mm-hmm. And that means if USC wins, they're going to be in daylight. If USC loses, they're going to be on Pac-12 After Dark. Is that sort of our calculation? Because I think that's probably
where we're at. I think that's how it looks. But it also is going to depend what happens with Utah. If Utah loses this week, then the Utah-Washington game loses its importance, regardless of who wins between SC and Washington. Like, as with the polls, multidimensional. Things are happening in different areas. So just wait. I don't think it's just an SC wins or loses thing. The other thing is, if SC only plays close games, you can make the argument that even if SC loses to Washington, if it's a super close game, it might still just be the game that gets bigger eyeballs anyways, and that takes precedence. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. The other news is that SC is still at number 24 in the AP Top 25. And the first college football playoff rankings come out on Tuesday, tomorrow.
Yeah. I didn't expect USC to fall out just because of the way that the poll works, especially with other teams that were in front of USC losing and falling out. It was going to take a lot for USC to fall out. It was going to take a loss for USC to fall out of the top 25. I am very curious what the college football playoff committee will say about where USC belongs. I do think USC will probably be top 25, mostly because the advanced stats metrics still have USC as a top 20 team.
Mm-hmm.
And even though USC has not looked impressive, not passing the eye test at all at this point this season, the numbers still bear out that USC, while not clearly an elite football team, is still a top 25 football team.
Yeah.
What I'm curious of is, will we see the committee side with the advanced stats and have USC in the top 20, or will they side with the eye test and sort of have USC around where they are in like the AP poll, which is, you know, 24, 23, whatever it is. Not that it necessarily matters, because again, if USC loses to Washington, they will simply be out of the polls,
mm-hmm.
full stop. But it does matter in terms of if USC wants to keep the season alive. Like, let's say USC does upset Washington. Your starting position becomes more and more important, because the wins that you have to tick off going forward will only move you up so far relative mm-hmm. to your starting performance. So it does matter. It ultimately is, like, I don't think it's going to matter, but
yeah.
Theoretically, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I think that it'll be interesting to see if the college football playoff rankings gives Arizona credit, because Arizona's SC's best win. If Arizona gets into the top 25, which, let's be real, they should already be ranked last week. They should already be ranked. But with the win over Oregon State, you would think that they should be ranked, especially now. But that could give SC sort of a boost, because SC's resume doesn't look good. Like, it is a 2-point triple overtime win over Arizona, and that's it. And then it's a 2-point loss to a now 2-loss Utah team, and then a jiggle bagging in South Bend.
Yeah, USC's best win by far is an overtime win over an Arizona team that is struggling to get put in the top 25 at this point, although they deserve it.
Right.
That can't be your best win.
No. It could all change this weekend, but of course, you know, I surely wouldn't bet on that, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes with the rankings when it comes out on Tuesday. Let's talk about the commitment that SC got in recruiting. From 5-star corner Brandon Lockhart, from the 2026 class, which means he's a junior right now, over at Loyola High, in LA, Loyola, the Catholic school, your brother's alma mater, Loyola.
My oldest brother's alma mater. Yes.
Yeah. The Loyola Cubs. Look at
that. They are the Cubs.
Yeah. So, yeah, SC gets a big commitment there. He's the number one recruit in the state of California, the number one cornerback in the country in the 2026 class.
I think it's funny that Lincoln Riley got lit up for talking about how USC's recruiting strategy is just simply going to be to get the best guys, and that it's not going to necessarily be about California. And then they go out and get the number one recruit in California for 2026. Not that I think that necessarily matters. I just think it's funny. Ironic. I don't know. It's 2026. It's USC's 2026 class has is looking very strong between Julian Lewis and Brandon Lockhart now. Like, that's a very strong base to work with. I think when we're talking about recruiting, you can't underestimate how important it is to have your foundational guys in a recruiting class because they help you recruit others. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's the important part here, that USC has a very, very strong platform upon which to build the rest of the 2026 class.
Yeah.
But also, I'm not necessarily going to put my eggs in the basket of a defensive recruit that's committing to a staff that I do not think should have jobs on signing day. So, well, not even this signing day, but, you know, in the future. So recruiting is it's always important to be getting recruits, but right mm-hmm. now I'm not feeling too much about it one way or another.
Yeah, the whole thing about the states, about where Lincoln Riley is recruiting, I think is I understand the what Lincoln Riley is trying to say, that you just need to get the best dudes and that and fits, and that's the most important thing, because I think he's right, like if you just recruit the best players and you win games, nobody will care where your recruits are from. He's right. At the same time, you want to be able to have, you know, pipelines. And SC has had pipelines that they have built for generations of like several coaches and decades, Mater Dei and Pauley and all these schools. And you want to be able to access those guys. And so it's big to get a, you know, five-star recruit in your backyard like Loyola is. You want to be able to, you know, lock those guys down like Brandon Lockhart, right? At the same time, just get good dudes. Like, it's a Portocanolo situation, right? Like, I don't care if SC is recruiting in-state or out-of-state guys. Get the guys who are going to win games for you, and that's the most important thing at the end of the day. Pete Carroll, his whole thing was they were only going to go out of state if it was first round talents. So what happened? So many of the star players on Pete Carroll's teams were out of state dudes. Keith Rivers was from Lake Mary, Florida, right? We know that Brian Cushing, Jarrett, Fred Davis, Ronald Johnson, Patrick Turner was from Tennessee. All these dudes were, Everson Griffin was from Avondale, Arizona, right? Like, all these guys were from out of state, but they were the first round talent kind of thing. So if Lincoln Riley goes out and gets first round talent types of dudes out of state, and those guys end up being the stars on your team, nobody cares if you didn't get the modern day guy, but you have to pay that off. Mm-hmm. You have to pay that off. You have to be able to actually do that, and you got to be able to win, and you got to be able to win no matter who you get. That's the key, whether it's in state or out of state, whether it's a non-gambling state or gambling state. If it's a gambling state, then that's where you, of course, can sign up for DraftKings. Because Trojan fans, have you seen the new promotion from DraftKings? You won't want to miss it. New users can place a $5 bet instantly to claim $200 in bonus bets. You'll be also rewarded with a separate no-sweat single-game parlay every single day when you opt in. All you have to do is use our code RANOFTROY. And using that code RANOFTROY not only gets you the great bonuses, but also directly supports the podcast. So if you've been considering signing up for DraftKings, make sure you use the code RANOFTROY to maximize those first bets and parlays. Of course, the offer is only available to new customers who are 21 plus and physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly and check the episode description for the full terms of the offer to see if you qualify. Yeah. All right, Alicia, USC and Cal. The Trojans get a 50-49 win. Not only was this a bizarre scoreline, the highest scoring USC Cal game in history is the last one, which seems fitting. Shout out to our buddy Richard for being able to run the numbers on that one. 99 points. That's easy math.
Hey, almost a century.
Didn't quite almost, get there, but almost almost a century for a rivalry. That's a century old. Over hey. A century old. Fitting. Yeah. 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 It's been a couple days. Your thoughts looking back on it?
I don't know what more there is to say about USC's defense. It's just bad. It's just bad. I rewatched the Matthew Loves Ball copy of the game, and it was just bad defense. I think the thing that stood out to me is absorbing some like stats that I saw on Sunday that there's nothing more to say, but also you can still highlight some of just the things that explain why USC is the way that they are.
Yeah.
Rich SC on Twitter tweeted, USC's defense has allowed 55 plays of 20 plus yards this season. By comparison, UCLA has allowed 18. On the bright side, USC moved from 131st in the country in that stat to 130th in that stat. So they're improving.
That's a positive step. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, yeah. But they're giving up explosive plays like they're going out of style. And you cannot have a strong defense when you are doing that. You can't. Like, and it's one thing if your defense is getting stops all of the other times.
Yeah.
And you just give up a couple explosive plays a game, and that accounts for the you know, three touchdowns a game that you're giving up. But USC is giving up a dozen explosive plays a game, and they're also letting teams drive down the field and score on them. And they're also giving up perfect red zone efficiency to opponents. And they're also, you know, giving up the run game. They're also giving up the pass game, and they're also not getting to the quarterback. So, you know, what is there to like, it's outrageous that LSU has one of the worst defenses in the country of the like top 25 defenses out there. And LSU has given up 39 plays of 29 yards this season.
Mm-hmm.
55 for USC. Like, LSU has a horrendous, horrific defense.
Yeah.
And USC is giving up like dozens more. It's a problem. One of the reasons why those explosive plays are happening, Shotgun Spratling tweets, USC missed 12 tackles against Cal, according to Pro Football Focus. Linebackers Mason Cobb and Tackett Curtis were each tagged with 3 misses. The Trojans have been charged with 102 missed tackles this season, 11.3 per game. Well, shucks, when you're giving up a dozen explosive plays per game and you're having a dozen missed tackles per game, maybe, perhaps, mm-hmm. perchance, those are related. And it's not necessarily that USC is not physical enough to make tackles. It's that they're taking bad angles. So even if they were capable of making good tackles, they are just in the wrong spots half of the time. And then lastly, a tweet from RJ Abadia. It was a hat trick of shame for the USC defense. For the second week in a row, the Trojans allowed an opponent to surpass season averages in yards per play, yards per carry, and yards per passing attempt. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's it's not great. We talked about it. We talked about it for a while. This is a 28-point defense, and they've proven that is no longer the case. There is no reason to say that it is a 28-point defense until they prove it otherwise. And they're not proving it, right? They're not proving it. The crazy thing is, going back to the missed tackles, I saw that Fight on Rusty tweeted there's four teams that are actually worse than SC in missed tackles in the Pac-12, which is shocking.
Wild.
But the crazy thing about that list is, so SC averages 11.3 per game, which is eighth in the Pac-12. Colorado ninth at 11.6. Washington 10th, 11.9. Washington State 11th with 12.5 per game. And Oregon State dead last with 14.25 per game. So what this tells me is that this sort of gives me some credence to the idea of, like, you know, every team just thinks that their team sucks at tackling. But the flip side is, when you look at those teams and where they rank on the giving up 20 yard plays thing, they're not ranked where SC is.
No.
Washington has, you know, only allowed 28 gains of 20 plus yards. SC has allowed 55, literally double.
Washington ranks 30th.
Yeah. So it's not the same thing.
Which tells you something about the nature of the missed tackles. Like, obviously we can't dig down into those numbers and actually find out 100, but maybe all 28 of those explosive plays that Washington's given up, those account for the 28, you know, missed tackles that they've had. But I suspect what's happening there is that Washington is missing tackles and they have help. They have help over the top, or they have safeties who are cleaning up plays, or they are giving up 10 yards when they should have given up 5, but that's it.
Right.
Where USC is giving up 50 yards when they should have given up 0 because they're overly aggressive and they don't have help on the backside. And the help that is there takes the wrong angle and misses a tackle themselves. And you have two missed tackles on a play that lead to, you know, long runs, or you have a terrible, worse still than the missed tackles. Cause again, like, a missed tackle means at least you were sort of in the right area. Worse still is watching the replays of Jaden Nott's touchdowns, and it's not necessarily missed tackles. It's, you know, a linebacker hits the wrong gap, and then the safety is just completely out of the play because his angle is too narrow or too wide or too whatever. There's very little good to say about the defense, except for, as you know, Kaylee in the chat says, the defense looked like they were having more fun in the second half. I think that is an observation, I think, that gets at what I've been saying all along, which is this defense is very difficult to watch. The one thing you can not accuse them of is not playing hard, though. Like, they're playing hard in games that feels like they should just give up and pack up shop, but they get a 2-point conversion with a well-defended 2-point conversion, I might add, shockingly.
Eric Gentry. Eric Gentry is someone who has, for all intents and purposes, been benched, seemingly, by not getting the reps that, like, I think a lot of people think that he should get. There's a million reasons for him to be all boo-boo face about it and not want to try or anything. And what has he done? He's done nothing, but he gets in there and tries insanely hard, misses an interception on a fourth down. And he's like beating himself up for not getting a fourth down, even though SC got the fourth down stop, because he wants the interception that bad, because he's playing so hard. So I think that the defense, the biggest credit to them is that the dysfunction hasn't gotten to them, which is hard to fathom, But that's like that's good. I think that's a good thing. They have the amnesia that you want, like, cornerbacks to have.
Yeah.
In that sense. By the way, I'm looking up the long play stats. Want something really depressing? Air Force has given up 63 plays of 10 plus yards. 10 plus yards. SC has given up 55 of 20 plus yards.
Michigan right there. Michigan
at 65.
65, yeah. 66. And USC is not far behind in 20-yard plays.
It's not good. It's not good. SC continues just to go higher and lower and all those things than what you expect them to be, which higher and lower, over and under. If you're into those things, maybe you'll be interested with Super Draft Daily Fantasy. Because SC fans, have you heard about Super Draft DFS? Super Draft hosts daily fantasy prop games where you can compete for a chance to win cash prizes. The game is simple. For each contest, you're given a pool of props for upcoming games. You pick whether each prop will be over or under the given total. You can choose up to 8 different props for a bigger win. If you want to join in the action, we've got you covered. Use the sign-up code FAN today. And receive a deposit match of up to $20. You'll also receive a free pick in your first game. Think of it as a free square in bingo or a free leg in a parlay. Using the code FAN when signing up not only gets you these free great rewards, but also helps you directly support the podcast. So please make sure to use the code FAN when you sign up. The offer, of course, available to new customers who are 18 plus. 19 if you're in Alabama, 21 if you're in Massachusetts, but 18 plus and physically present in valid states, including California. Please remember to always game responsibly and check the episode description for the full terms of the offer. That is Super Draft Daily Fantasy.
Friends, listeners, if that segue doesn't earn a like on the video, then I don't know what it is.
The other one was better. The DraftKings segue was the better one.
No, but I think that this one was my favorite of all of the ones you've done.
All right, okay, I'll take it. I'm not gonna say no, but let's get to over under.
So you're going over.
I'm feeling bold. Give me that over.
I'll go under. I gotta take an under here. I got 3 unders to take.
I'm gonna do an under here.
All right, let's get to the over and the unders. Coming into the week, I had a big lead, 27 and 21. You were just 22 and 26. Not good. No bueno. Let's see how this week would go. Your first one was over under 99.5 Jaden Ott rushing yards. I slammed this over. I absolutely jiggle bagged it. And guess what? Jaden Ott absolutely lily warped SC into it. A big one from Jaden Ott, 153 yards on 21 carries. The vast majority of that all came in the first half. He had this in the first quarter.
He had this in the first quarter. I don't know, because when I set the line at 99, I was like, well, it feels low, but like it's not like I could set it at 150.
Sure.
I could have set it at 150.
You could have.
And you still would have gotten the over.
I don't know that I would have taken the over at 150, to be fair.
That's like, I have to go so high that I have to bait you into taking an under on 150.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Next one, my first one, I said over under 12.5 yards for Zachariah Branch's longest punt return of the day. You took the under. It was under. His longest of the day was all of 6 yards.
Yeah, I just played the percentages on this one because realistically, how many punts was Cal going to have? And that
the craziest part
that played out.
We were talking about this, I think, off air, or were we on the car? I don't remember about the punting situation. I think this was off air. We were talking about it, and you're like, because I was going over the over-unders. I'm like yelling to you in the other room. Oh, this one was an over. Or that one was an under. You're like, yeah, but Cal didn't punt that much. And then I looked it up. SC punted 7 times. SC punted 7 times and still scored 50. Is that insane? Like Cal punted 3 times in this game. But SC punted 7 times in a game that they scored 50, which is absolutely bananas.
Yeah.
Let's go to your second over under, which was over under 79.5% on Cal's red zone conversion rates. I took the over on this. You took the under, of course. And that was an over. They were perfect 5 of 5, 100%.
Cal ranked 109th in red zone scoring at 75% going into this game, for the record.
Yeah. That's an over. Let's go to the next one. I said over under 3.5. Cal tackles for loss. They had not had more than 3 since week 2 when they had a bunch against Auburn. You took the under on this. Locks me into the over. It was over. It was 5. Cal had 5 tackles for loss in this game.
USC is an antidote for opposing teams when their offense is terrible and when their defensive line is not getting production. Just play, just play USC. If you don't have enough tackles for loss this year, play USC. Don't have enough sacks, play USC. Don't have enough yards or points or anything like that, play USC.
I feel like that needs to be a drop. Play USC. Yeah, just play USC. Yeah. All right. Your last one was over under 2.5 USC wide receivers with 5+ catches. I took the under because I'm not dumb. And it was under. It was under. The answer, of course, was 1. There was just 1 Trojan receiver with 5 catches, and that was Taj Washington. No other USC receiver had more than 3. Kyron Hudson had 3. Dorian Singer had 3. Brendan Rice had 2. Zachariah Branch had 1. Lake McCree had 4 catches, 71 yards. They're running that RPO with Lake McCree right up the seam, and I love it so much.
I love it.
Love that play.
That's a beautiful play.
But that even is. If he would have gotten to 5 catches, he wouldn't have counted because you said wide receivers, and he is not a wide receiver. So, yeah, under, and I'll take the point there. Last one for me. I said over under 8.5 carries for
Marshawn Lloyd.
And of course you would take the over there. A little wishful thinking on your behalf, but it paid off big time for you. 17 carries and 115 yards on the ground. 2 touchdowns for
Marshawn Lloyd.
And then as a receiver,
Marshawn Lloyd
had 3 catches for 72 yards. It was a big outing for him.
It was Marshawn Lloyd's world. We're just living in it.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. 17 carries. 17 carries for a USC running back.
Yeah.
It's a Halloween miracle. And Austin Jones had 9. Like most days, neither of them have 9.
Yeah.
I need to really just bask in the warmth of a 17 carry, 26 running back carry day, because I do not think we're going to see that from USC again.
Here's a question for you. When you think of 1 year running backs, assuming that Marshawn Lloyd's not coming back next year, 1 year USC running backs, who do you take? Lloyd or Ingram?
Ingram.
Keonta Ingram.
Why not die?
Or die. Either one of those 3. Yeah. Well, Ingram is more prolific than die.
And die got injured.
Yeah.
I take Marshawn Lloyd. I even live with the fumbling problems at this point. I just love watching this dude run. I love watching this dude carry the ball. And I love Travis Dye. I loved Keontae Ingram, like both awesome running backs that USC added for 1 year.
I feel bad for Keontae Ingram because he played in the third most forgettable season in USC football history.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, famously, it's 2010 is the most forgettable, followed by the COVID season, and then 2021.
Yeah.
Name something that happened in 2021. You can't. Nobody knows. Who knows?
Clay Helton was fired.
Who was SC's quarterback after Slovis? Nobody knows. Nobody remembers Jackson Dart. Nobody knows. But Keontae Ingram had like his moments, and I feel bad because he's not going to be remembered. And I feel like everyone talks about
Marshawn Lloyd,
about how great he was, great he is as a transfer. I've heard so many people say that they love him. The most loved SC running back since Rojo, or since Lendale, or since Buck Allen, or whoever. And I always think Keontae Ingram never gets his due because he played in 2021, the year Helton got fired.
Yeah.
Everyone checked out.
I feel for him.
Bummer
but
for him.
But Lloyd is as powerful as Keontae Ingram and just a lot faster and a lot
and more, he's fun to watch. Super fun to watch. A lot
more capable of breaking something.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So for the week, it was another big weekend for me. 4-2. You went 2-4. The absolute jiggle bagging continues. I now have a record of 31-23. You're 24-30.
So USC has three games remaining in the regular season.
You need like a 6-0 week.
I need a 6-0 week to get back in this because.
Or 3 weeks of 4-2.
Like you've had.
No, if you have 3 weeks of 4-2, you still won't get back, actually.
Yeah. I'm in trouble. Yeah. I'm in trouble. I'm in more trouble than USC's defense is this week.
Let's get to the weekly leaders. Did anybody go 6-0? Yes, we had three. Trevor M,
our buddy, back.
Our buddy Steve from the Bay Area, and Matt and Rancho all went 6-0. Well done. Well done. And for the season leaders, it is getting tight, folks. G-Pat and Vince in southern Des Moines. No, that doesn't work. South Dearborn. Are tied for 37-17. They are in over under. Tied for third is Jay Vandy, Stephen Schad, and Trevor M at 34-20. So a 3-game gap there, but the tie for first place is going to be really tense between G Pat and Vincent San Diego. So that's going to be, it's really fun to watch. And that wraps up the over-under. But we've got stuff to talk about. We've got mailbag stuff. Let's get to the mailbag, shall we?
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You've got mail.
All right, Alicia, let's start with the old mailbag. With a email that we got from Tony in Denora, PA, who says, this is Tony from Denora, PA. We've got the win! !! Wasn't pretty dominant, but a win is a win. We scored 50 and needed every single one of them points. Right now, after two straight losses, I don't care who we beat. Could have been Cal Poly Pomona and I would have taken it. Fight on, Tony in Denora, PA. Also, last week, we got an email from, we get emails from Tony all the time. We got an email from another Tony, and we misattributed it to Tony of the Nora, PA.
So sorry to both Tonys for that one.
Sorry to both Tonys. Tony and Denora PA called in and was like, unless there's another Tony and Denora PA who also roots for SC, I don't think it was me, which I thought was great. That was funny. That made me laugh.
That would be a plot twist that would be outstanding.
I always feel weird, like when I put stuff in for like takeout and for Michael, like there's how too many Michaels billion Michaels there? Out yeah. there. Yeah.
I don't know how we don't end up with like wrong orders more yeah. often, because it shouldn't
you're
be
like
that
mustard
hard for-
this is not me. I wouldn't have done this.
Maybe that's what's happening every time you do get mustard on
oh
your
my god I didn't think about it
the other Michael that orders
oh,
a
shoot you know. I hate that guy. Jeez,
mustard Michael sucks.
Mustard Michael, that freaking bastard. Jesus. All right, let's get to a voicemail we got from Greg in D.C.
Greg from D.C. again. I just was listening to Riley's answer about whether, you know, defensive changes need to be made, whether it be philosophy or staff or personnel. And you kind of started off the answer with something that was interesting, where he was like, you know, we're putting the defense in a lot of bad positions. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are, you know, if he's the offensive guy, you know, I'm wondering if a little bit of the reason that he doesn't like to blame the defense a lot is that he feels like, which is not, it's not totally out of hand or nonsensical, is that they are sometimes putting the defense in a lot of bad positions, and in his mind, they should be able to do whatever they need to do, score all the points they can, and defense shouldn't be able to be in good positions, not have to really try that hard. And, you know, it's just one of those things I'm thinking about. If you're putting the blame on yourself, you know, trying to take the ultimate responsibility and you're the offensive guy, it's like, well, I can't really blame the defense. So just want your thoughts about that. Thanks. Fight on. And I think we can beat the Huskies next week.
Thanks for the call, Greg. We'll see about that one. I don't know. We'll talk about that
preview episode
more on Wednesday. Yeah. But Alicia, what do you think? Do you think there's merit to Lincoln Riley holding the punches on Grinch as a way of taking the blame on himself for offense?
I think it's pretty standard for coaches to deflect blame on people on their staff by saying that there's something more that they should have done. I think we see that from players as well. We've heard the players come out and say, like, it's our fault that this isn't working out, that it's not on Grinch. And I don't think it should be a surprise that Riley, when presented with a question that only has one right answer, and it's a right answer that he cannot say because he's not trying to blow up USC's spot when they're 5-1 in the Pac-12 and still in the title race.
Yeah.
His answer was extremely telling to me. The full answer pretty much telegraphed to me that Alex Grinch is losing his job. Like, there's just no way.
That was my read on it too.
Cause he didn't, he tried to dance around it.
He didn't say it wasn't the case.
Yeah, he didn't say, like, yeah, we don't need defensive changes. He said, you know, and then deflected and then went to, you know, we've put them in bad spots, which is not inaccurate in a yeah. lot of senses. They certainly put them in terrible spots against Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
There have been turnovers. There have been issues where USC... In games like this, the difference between this, where USC was in a dogfight where they had to come back from two touchdowns down to win the game in very narrow fashion, the difference between this year and last year is just that USC's offense isn't putting their foot on the gas and pulling away from teams and then ending up in situations where they're up 24-10 and then for the rest of the game, the defense is giving up touchdowns every drive, but USC's offense is responding with touchdowns every drive and then it ends 50-35 or whatever. And
they could have killed off some of these games by just doing more on offense.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you can say that when you build your team this way, then yeah, it is the offense's fault because you put it in a way to where you've made it to where you have to be in that situation. So you have to sort of be perfect on offense.
Well,
and if you're not, it's your fault. But at the same time, it comes down to what you were just saying. Like, he's not going to go into a press conference. There was no way he was going to sit there and say, yeah, I've got to fire Grinch at the end of the year. Like, he's not going to say that.
No.
And so it's easier to always just blame yourself. If someone asks you if to throw somebody else under the bus in a press conference, the easiest thing to do is just blame yourself.
Yeah. And it's funny because fans want you to take responsibility until they're mad enough that they want you to not take responsibility and right. blame. But the problem here is that, we've watched many a USC team where the offense did screw over the defense and the defense was statistically worse than the offense, but the offense should have been better. Like, that was the entire Clay Helton era, essentially, is mm-hmm. offenses that should have been carrying the team that just struggled to carry the team. That's why we came up with the Rot Index in the first place, because USC's offense wasn't capable of scoring 28 points in a game when that's all they needed, because they had a 24-point defense. So
right.
if your offense lived up to its potential, USC wouldn't be having these kinds of problems. That's not the case with this defense, though. And that's, I think, why it sucks to sort of hear the response, the answers that Riley is giving, because even if the offense was doing what USC's offense had done in the past under Clay Helton in past regimes, where the defense was being hung out to dry. Like, when your defense is getting hung out to dry and they give up 30 points, I can understand this being an issue of your defense is less of the issue. Your offense is hanging them out to dry. When your defense is giving up 50 points to a team that committed 4 turnovers.
Yeah. 49 points.
49 points to a team that had 4 turnovers.
Yeah.
Your offense is not hanging them out to dry that much.
Right.
Like, that's 10 points maybe that you can say your offense could have helped prevent those 10 points.
Yes. Well, but
not 49.
But like, this is the problem is that both things are true. And so when both things are true, you can say those things.
Yeah.
Because like I mentioned earlier, SC punted 7 times in this game. So quite literally, yes, the offense could have done more. Like, mm-hmm. the offense was not good enough in this game, which is insane to say about a game in which they scored 50 points. But that is the case, right? Like, that is the reality of the situation. So, yeah, but I think the crux of the matter is, and I want to stress this about all Lincoln Riley press conferences right now. Do not take what he says literally.
It ain't that deep, guys.
Because I thought it was a good candid answer in the sense of candid as so insofar as like he didn't lie straight up. Right. Yeah. 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 And yeah, he took the high road a bit, as HR Pick and stuff in the chat says, but like he didn't. He didn't give the dreaded vote of confidence kind of thing. And that I think is refreshing. But on the flip side, press conferences are when a coach is embattled or a situation is hard, like you're not always going to get the answer that is satisfying. And some of those reasons are because they just can't say those things, or they just won't say those things, or they still have belief. So then you have to, still have the belief and all those things. And on top of that, but I think a lot of people, it's easy to be upset about every single thing, because you can just hear it and not hear Lincoln Riley get up there and say, yeah, well, the defense sucks. So, well, then if he doesn't say the defense sucks, well, then he thinks that the defense is okay. And it's like, he can't actually think that.
All I know is, if you want a head coach to go against the grain and say what the fans think and what the fans are feeling and like be brutally honest, that's your prerogative.
There's only so many Jose Mourinho's.
There's only so many Deion Sanders. And all I know is I don't want USC's head coach going into a press conference and saying, we just need a bunch of new offensive linemen. Like, I want the coach to be ruthless, and if the personnel changes need to be made,
yeah,
or if the coaching changes need to be made, I want them to make it, mm-hmm, to let their actions speak louder than words. But I don't want USC's head coach to sit up there and say, yeah, this is all Alex Grinch's fault and he sucks and that's that. Or,
yeah,
or the players all suck and, you know, we're just going to get rid of all of our linebackers and bring in new ones next year. Like, there may be something cathartic about that in the moment, but in the long run, I do not think that kind of approach as a coach,
yeah,
is productive or sustainable. That's sort of where I'm at, is that, like, I know people want to just let their frustration out by picking apart everything that the coach says.
Right.
But in the end, you're only doing that to nitpick. Like, you can do that to anybody if you want after a loss. Every coach only has so many things that they can say after a loss or a bad performance. And it matters. Their actions matter way more than anything that's said in a press conference. And I'd rather critique and judge the actions than parse the words.
Yeah, this is why the things that sort of frustrate me about the Lincoln Riley press conferences are the things that are like, for instance, I think people are going to be finicky about the spark comment. Well, we're just a spark away. Well, put yourself in his shoes for a second. Like, of course he's going to say that when you are alive for the Pac-12 championship, mm-hmm, like all those things, like technically true. Like, it's the whole Link, Clay Helton thing about the, we control our own destiny. Like, well, if that's true in the room, you have to believe that. You have to believe that you're going to, you get right. You can't go into the Washington game thinking that you're just going to get trucked.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
You have to believe that you have the belief, right? So, of course you're going to think that you're just a spark away from doing those things. And then it gets picked apart where, like, then it's, you know, every single, it becomes a meme on Twitter of like, well, geez, he thinks we're just a spark away. And like, that's the stuff that annoys me. Mm-hmm. But I think it exists because there are moments where I think Lincoln Riley missteps in the media.
Like the untrained thigh. Like the untrained thigh thing. It's just bad. There's no good way to spin.
I think fixating on the untrained eye thing is a little
not worth it. Yeah.
It's a little corny at this point, but at the same time, Lincoln Riley said it and sort of asked for it by saying it, right? Like, he put it out there, and if you put it out there, people will latch onto it. People latch, mm-hmm, onto the spark thing. So of course they're going to latch on to a dumb comment about the untrained eye thing. Yeah. Like, of course. Yeah. You don't want them to latch onto those things. Don't say those things. So, yeah, but that's where I am. More than anything, it's a hot plate. Don't touch the hot plate. Don't listen to the press conference if you don't know, if you don't like what he has to say. The only press conferences I think people love are the winning ones, when like Pete Carroll get up there and, you know, hoop and holler about how great of a day it was to be a Trojan and whatnot.
Yeah,
because you never remember the positive ones outside of that, right? Like, mm-hmm, the only press conferences we ever remember are the bad ones.
Well, and in the chat, LBC Robbie says something that is absolutely correct. He says, he is right. 90% of the people commenting do not have do have untrained eyes. And like, that's why he says it, because
there's a bit of merit to what he's saying.
There's a million
things. But you just don't say that.
Yeah, there's a million things that fans, and I'll say, like, myself too, will watch during a football game, and I'll say, like, why don't they do this?
Right.
And usually there's actually a good reason about why they don't. The thing is that people, I mean, we see this in the media, right? Like, as people in the media, I see people talk about, like, why don't reporters ask this, or why don't reporters do this, or be very critical of things that people do in the media. And being on the inside, I sort of understand, like, well, there's a good reason why people don't do that. Like, you might not realize that this is why this happens, but the people inside recognize why things work the way they do. So,
right.
But at the same time, when you're a head coach, again, you don't turn things on your players or assistants and say like they suck or whatever, you also should know better than to turn around and say that the fans don't know what they're talking about either. Like,
yeah,
never, ever, ever goes your way.
You need to say that the fans don't know what they talk about in a way that doesn't say the fans don't know what they're talking about.
Yes. And you also need to be correct enough for that to not then become
right.
Like, for instance, the untrained eye thing was so insulting because, like, Lincoln, we're all watching the defense. I'm right. Sorry.
Yes.
The trained eyes that are watching the defense are watching this defense and saying it's catastrophic. So like,
right. Yeah. Which is why it's ridiculous to say it.
Yeah. You can only say it if you could sort of get away with it. And later on down the line, like it turns out you were 100% right. But like he was 100% wrong. So don't put yourself out on that limb.
Yeah.
But yeah.
If that's what you mean to say, then you've got to say it in a way that gets that across without saying that.
Yeah.
Like you've got to, well,
we're doing things.
There are some areas we like or whatever,
The ones that we're getting wrong are the ones that we really need to fix. And that's sort of just part of it. And just stick with that line.
You don't have to go there. Yeah. Paul K in the chat says untrained eye will stick with Riley forever. Yeah. That's why you don't say it. You don't say it because it will stick with you forever.
But that's also why if you win, no one's going to have to say that statement anymore.
This is true.
Like no one's going to be talking about untrained eyes on Saturday if USC beats Washington.
This is true. All right, let's get to voicemail we got from Navy Dan.
Hi, Michael and Alicia. This is Navy Dan from Leimert Park calling again. I was just wondering if you guys noticed at the end of in that long halftime between SB and Cal, when they came out of it, Justin Wilcox called a timeout to ice the kicker. But here's what I'm thinking. If that was the second quarter, 1 second left in the second quarter, then he shouldn't have had any timeouts because I believe they were out of timeouts. So he ended up using one of his timeouts from the second half. And they could have used that at the end of the game, I think, to try to get down there and win the game. Anyway, just wondering if you guys noticed that. Did he use a second half timeout in the first half? Your thoughts. Thanks. Love the pod. Fight on.
Thanks for the call, Navy Dan. I looked into this, and it looks like the confusion was strictly a broadcast error because the score bug, when they used the timeouts, the score bug was already updated with the timeouts for the second half and then took it away. But in looking at like the official game stats and the game book that the official score puts out at the end of the game, Cal had 3 first half timeouts. They took both of them. They took the first 2 before quote unquote halftime on that final drive that SC had. They took the 3rd right before that kick. So they did have a 3rd timeout. And that's when he took the timeout to ice Lynch. And then in the true second half of the game, Cal took 3 timeouts. One of them was to talk over the 2-point conversion at the end of the game. And the other 2 were when Caleb Williams was doing the kneel downs at the end of the game. So they still had 3 after the icing. So the icing timeout didn't take away from one at the end. But this is, when you have a broadcast mistake on the little score bug, like it leads to sort of confusion that way. Absolutely. I think it's incredible that we don't watch enough of Cal to say, but does Wilcox never use his timeouts to the point where he always has all 3 in the last minute?
Well, he's not calling offensive timeouts because they're taking too long to let the defense sub. And
I mean, I guess so. Like it's good clock management to have the timeouts like that.
I did notice, and I don't know because I haven't necessarily been paying attention before this game, but I did notice turnabout being fair play and USC's defensive substitutions being rather slow. So, maybe if you can't beat them, join them in that, but yeah, you are correct. It was, This is why you don't restart the first half after halftime and have all of this kind of stuff go crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. It gets a little bit confusing. All right. Let's go to messages we got here in the YouTube chat. Cameron says, do you think the best high school offenses like Gorman, Bishop Gorman, Mater Dei, or Bosco could put up 35 plus points on this SC defense?
My honest reaction was, of course they could. But then after I had that thought, you always have to remember that, because these kinds of things always get asked, like, you know, could USC's offense put up, 20 points on the best defense in the NFL? And the answer, the best offense in college football every year could not score a point on the worst defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
Maybe they could score like one fluky touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, they are getting absolutely worked. And the same is true when you do the step down from college to high school. The best high school offenses maybe have one or two college level offensive linemen.
Yeah.
They would get absolutely mauled. Like Bear Alexander, you could triple team Bear Alexander and he would still maul those dudes.
The modern day offensive line might have five guys who end up playing college football. But one of them might be a freshman who ends up playing D2. And then another one might be, a five-star recruit who is a senior and still is not in college yet. And then another one might be play at the JUCO level or whatever. But more realistically, like one of those is going to have a right guard who's going to be in mechanic school in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's what it comes down to. Ron Murdy says, do you see Jen Cohen inserting herself into doing something with Alex Grinch or let Lincoln Riley handle that at the end of the year? I think she probably lets him handle that at the end of the year and then gets involved with the search after that.
She should not meddle here, is my opinion. I think I said it on one of our last episodes. The only thing that Jen Cohen should do when talking to Lincoln Riley about the defensive coordinator should be to slide a blank check across the table to him.
Yeah.
She shouldn't need to meddle here. If she needs to meddle here, then she needs to find her own head coach, is sort of my perspective. And I do not think that is the reality. I'm just saying, like, if that were the reality, then there's a larger problem than I think anybody saw coming.
Right.
She should not get in the way here and just support Lincoln when he makes the inevitable decision.
Yeah. We got a YouTube comment from last episode, from the CarCast, from Greg, that says, I am sure if Mike Bone was still the AD, he would have gone for another try to get Dave Aranda, assuming Aranda is fired this year. I remember after the Holiday Bowl loss, USC was really close to hiring him to be the next DC. Aranda would be a good hire. He's from Kern County and has some experience in the Big Ten when he was the DC for Wisconsin. He would be my second option behind the popular Jim Leonard. Yes, I think we both agree with that, right? I think the thing about Mike Bone not being here that is the biggest problem, obviously Mike Bone should not be USC's AD because of all the off the stuff, but that goes with it without getting into, obviously. The biggest problem of not having Mike Bone around is not having Brandon Sosna around, who was the guy running all of the search stuff behind the scenes. And I think Brandon Sosna would have like a gigantic binder of all the dudes and all the guys that you need to go after, with Dave Aranda being on that list. You'd hope that there's still someone in SC's athletic department that can sort of fill that role, but we need to see that be the case.
I mean, the good thing is that Jen Cohen is or has proven to be a capable athletic director in terms of the hires that she made at Washington. So you sort of just have to put your faith in that.
Yeah. LBC Robbie says, guys, if we lose two or three of the last three games, there's going to be changes on the staff, I assure you. Yeah, I think, like, Alicia, like you said, I think the way that Riley answered the question about the changes at defensive coordinator, to me, like, just the body language said that Grinch is gone. But, like, there's no way it can't be the case. Right? There's no way it can't be.
Like I said, if it's not the case, then there's a bigger problem and a bigger change should be made.
Yeah. Tim in LA says, anyone noticed that they started fair catching kickoffs? I loved it since it put the offense in a good starting point. Any guesses why they made that change?
I would guess somebody just had to sit down with Zachariah Branch and said, yo, dude, you can't. To just take everyone and screw the offense into the 15-yard line.
SC started drives at the 11 and the 10 in the second quarter, first half.
Yeah, one of those was a punt though?
No, both those are kickoffs.
Both from kickoffs. Yeah. So, I presume it was after that where they said stop it, and I guess that's the message you have to send at a certain point.
Yeah. Let's go to a question or a comment we got from West Texas Mike. Are we being pranked with Jiggle Bag or Jiggle Bang? Is this like Fetch? Is Michael trying to make something new happen? Alicia, why would I do that?
Why on earth would you do that?
I don't know. You're the one that invented Jiggle Bag, right?
Am I the one that invented
Jiggle Bag? I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
I think I invented Schwizzy Haggled.
Lily warped? You paper scarfed?
Yeah.
Turtle boofed?
Turtle boofed is a good one. I like that. It's happening, guys.
Boomel thrusted? Yeah. Any of those.
We need to incorporate something like Warfel Grinched.
Like Danny Warfel?
I don't know. Just Grinched needs to be involved in some of this.
Struggle Grinched.
Helta Grinched.
Helta Grinched. I don't know. Anyways, we'll be back on Wednesday to preview the upcoming jiggle bagging that SC will get from Washington, presumably, because of course there's no football reason to pick the Trojans in that game. But we're going to preview it anyways. So join us Wednesday, 5 p.m. Hopefully right at 5 and we don't have technical issues that force us to get weird and start late. So hopefully we're able to do that live here on YouTube. Until then, we will be back then. Thank you, as always. Email address, randomtroyfansire.com. Phone number, 818-643-7227. Until then, final word?
The final word is grit strained, as Brandon in the chat offered up.
There we go.
Or just Grinched, yeah.
I mean, Grinched works. Yeah. All right, we'll see you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.